It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Crank it up! Good morning! And welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, August 8th. How are we doing this morning? Woo! So glad you can join me to talk some golf, hang out for an hour, have some fun. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool, luxury athleisure apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive ice fill cooling technology. Along with SPF 50 plus sun protection, visit ibkul.com to learn more. Wow, congratulations to American Nelly Korda for winning the gold medal in the Women's Olympic Golf Competition. Woo! Korda, she led by three heading into the final round. She was able to fend off, it was so hot there, so blistering heat, a storm delay, and all this intense competition right behind her. And the 23-year-old shot a 2-under 69 in the final round with a 17-under overall, edging out Moni Inami of Japan by one shot. Inami won the silver. She sunk five birdies in a six-hole stretch and had a birdie on the 17th, grabbing a share of the lead with Korda there for a second. But then Inami bogeyed the 18th, ended up carding a 65. Boy, these women are incredible. Lydia Ko also carded a 65, ended up with a 16 under as well. So Inami and Ko had to play a playoff to determine second and third place. And Lydia Ko ended up getting the bronze. Boy, Lydia Ko, I just love that woman. She also medaled in the 2016 Olympic Games in Rios, winning the silver there. So she's the first woman to win two Olympic medals in golf. So Korda, I mean, she got off to what she, her lead got to four in the final round after that birdie on the second. But then she double bogeyed the seventh hole, and that brought a lot of players back into contention. And then she quickly rallied right after that double. Three straight birdies, baby. 8, 9, and 10. Then she bogeys 11 to keep things interesting. Then you had the rain delay. And during the rain delay, I read where she was hanging out with her older sister, Jessica. And it helped keep her mind off of everything, off all the pressure she felt. And then when play resumed, Nelly Korda, she parred the final two holes and she won by one. So just an incredible week for Nelly Korda. Her older sister ended up carding a 7-under 64 to finish with a 9-under overall, tied for 15th. Daniel Kang ended up at 7-under for the tournament, tied for 20th. Lexi Thompson finished at 3-under overall, 33rd place. So you have to be happy for both Nelly Korda and Xander Schauffele for getting it done for the Americans in these Olympics. Yeah, I get excited about that. Go USA. Why not? I mean, I've covered six different Olympics, and I have to say, covering the Olympics has been truly one of the highlights of my career. It's just exceptional being at any Olympic Games and so on so many levels. So let's look at Nelly Korda. It's her fourth win this year, including her first major title, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship this past June, which moved her to the top spot in the world rankings. Then she wins the gold. All this really just happening within the last 2 months. Really just remarkable. And I ask you, and this is something we'll talk about in a little bit with Beth Ann Nichols, who will join me. Beth Ann is a senior writer for Golf Week, and she's covered women's golf for many, many, many years. So I ask you, what's more important, do you think, to a golfer's career? Winning a major title or winning an Olympic gold medal? Now, I think in women's golf, and I think it's different with women's golf than it is with men's golf, but in women's golf, with the amount of global attention that is focused on the Olympics, for these 2 weeks, even though it's every, 4 years, more people hear about it and or have watched it. So, I mean, all of a sudden, Nelly Korda, I mean, if you didn't know her before, and all you golfers know her, of course, but worldwide, people who may not follow golf now know Nelly Korda because she won the gold and they were following the Olympics. And, you know, it might be different for the men. Xander Schauffele, he gets tons of attention, obviously, for winning the gold medal last week. But when and if he closes out a win for his first major title, I think more and more people would know about it than might know about a woman winning a major title. And we'll talk about this with Beth Ann, as I say, because it's different. It's still, I mean, reality. It's still different for men and women from a PR standpoint and for, you know, and really it comes down to sports departments covering the game. They cover men's golf more than they cover women's golf. But it's truly an extraordinary family, this Korda family, as far as athletic achievement goes. The father, Peter Korda, he played on the ATP Tour for a dozen years and got as high as number two in the world, winning the 98 Australian Open. I remember covering him at the US Open Tennis. I would read his scores in my updates for this radio station. The mother, Regina, also competed in tennis, and she went to the 88 Summer Olympics representing Czechoslovakia in tennis. I already told you about Nelly's sister, Jessica. She's 28 years old. She's also a star on the tour. And then they have a younger brother named Sebastian, and he won his first ATP title in June and cracked the top 50 in men's tennis. So, I mean, unbelievable family of athletes, right? you have to think of some other incredible Olympic families. Well, of course, Serena and Venus Williams come to mind, the Williams sisters. Serena, she won 4 gold medals, 1 in singles, and 3 in doubles in Olympic competition. And her sister did the same. Venus won 4 gold medals as well, 1 in singles and 3 in doubles, playing with each other. And then the other incredible Olympic family that comes to my mind, because I covered this family, Jackie Joyner-Kersee. She has been considered the greatest female athlete of the 20th century. And I was way back when, in 1984, my very first Olympics that I covered for ABC Radio Sports. She won, she silvered in 84. And then in 88, she won 3 golds in Seoul, Korea. And she just won tons. She medaled a lot. I think she competed in 3 summer games. And Jackie Joyner-Kersee's brother, Al Joyner, became the first American in 80 years to win the gold for the triple jump. And he did that back in the 84 Summer Games in L.A. And then you have FloJo, Florence Griffith Joyner. May she rest in peace. Who I had the pleasure of interviewing for my sports interview TV show years ago. She won 3 golds in track in the 1988 Summer Olympics. So that was an incredible. And she was married to Al Joyner, Florence Griffith Joyner. So just 2 other incredible athletic families when you're talking Olympics. I mean, unbelievable that, you know, there'd be 2 sisters playing in the Olympics on the golf with the Korda family. So just a great story. Another great story. Well, last week we spoke about the U.S. Senior Women's Amateur, which took place at historic Brooklawn Golf Club in Fairfield, Connecticut, and the GOAT in women's golf, Annika Sörenstam. She ended up winning by 8 shots. Remember we talked about it a week ago? And just a very compelling week and a great win for Annika, who's 50 years old. And she was 13 years removed from her last professional title back in 2008. And she was 38 years old back then. And she stepped away from golf to raise a family. And, you know, that career was unbelievable. She compiled 72 LPGA titles, 10 major victories. And when I say she stepped away, she really did step away from playing. And it really was only until recently that she started playing in a few tournaments and then started seriously practicing to get ready for this major. And it was the first time she had played in the U.S. Senior Women's Amateur Championship, not amateur, championship. And I think it was only in its third year, the U.S. Senior Women's. And, you know, she played like she never left. She shot 67, 69, 72, 68. She was 12 under par overall. And she enjoyed an 8-shot victory over Lisa Lott Newman. And, you know, the beauty of it all was that her husband, Mike, and the two kids were there. And the two kids now are, she has a son and a daughter. And they were, you know, they're old enough now to really appreciate their mom and to see it, you know, to savor the memories. I mean, it was just a family affair. It was just, they just have to be thrilled. It was so great to see her play again. And she'll be, you know, she now gets entry into the U.S. Open next summer, so. Let's see how intensely she'll practice her that. Maybe she'll come back, make a comeback at the age of 50. I love it. The U.S. Women's Amateur has been going on all week at Westchester Country Club. The semifinals took place yesterday, and then the 36-hole championship match begins this morning at 8 o'clock. And then they play a second 18 starting at 1:30 this afternoon, and the Golf Channel will pick up coverage at 2 p.m. Jensen Castle is a University of Kentucky junior. She was a 63rd seed in the tournament and had to survive a 12-for-2 playoff earlier in the week to advance to match play. And then she knocks out the reigning NCAA and world number 2, Rachel Heck, in a 19-hole thriller. Unbelievable golf. There's so much going on, and it's all very exciting. Heck missed a 2-footer in the 18th, which would have closed out the match for her. Castle came back from 2 down with 3 holes to play. She drained a 15-footer for birdie, then one on the extra hole, the 10th, coming up with a clutch birdie from just off the green, and Heck's birdie opportunity lipped out. Just what a match. So Castle will face Vivian Hugh, a University of Arizona standout. Hugh beat Valentina Rossi of Argentina 2-up in the other semifinal. So Castle and Hugh, they both are battling injuries. Castle had a rib injury for most of the summer, and Hugh is recovering from a partially torn labrum in her left hip. But I'm sure that's going to be a heck of a battle. So, and it starts in about 4 to 5 minutes. The U.S. Men's Amateur starts tomorrow. Oakmont Country Club and Longview Club outside of Pittsburgh. And boy, my memories of Oakmont, what a historic, stunning place Oakmont is. The church pew bunkers, 175 bunkers on that golf course. The greens, just incredibly fast, tabletop greens, as we like to call them. I was there when Dustin Johnson won. Just incredible. They have, in this amateur competition, the oldest competitors, 59-year-old Bob Royak and Sean Knapp. The youngest are 2 16-year-olds, Reed Grazerman and Sean Tyson. So more amateur golf to watch. These amateurs are amazing. So lots going on. The World Golf Championships FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Final round this afternoon. Harris English, 32 years old, Harris English, maintains his lead, looking for his 5th PGA Tour title. Harris, she shot a 65 yesterday to go with a 65 on Friday and a 62 on Thursday. He's 18 under overall. And he leads Bryson DeChambeau and Cameron Smith by 2 shots. Harris English tying Tiger Woods for the lowest 54-hole score in tournament history with that 18 under. Bryson DeChambeau, he shot a 7 under 63 yesterday. Just on fire. Birdied 5 of his last 7 holes. It's always fun to watch Bryson just, you know, go for it. And not only crush the ball off the tee, but sink putts, right? And so Bryson looking for his first top 10 finish since he tied for 9th in the Wells Fargo Championship in May. So be cool to see Bryson you know, in a showdown this afternoon with Harris English. Cameron Smith, he had a 65 yesterday, closed with a vengeance, birding 2 of his final 3 holes. He is at 16 under as well. And then Abraham Anser, he's only 4 shots back and still looking for his first win on the PGA Tour. So That should be cool. Now, the event, the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational, it will actually be turned into a FedEx Cup playoff event starting in 2022. It will be the first of three FedEx Cup playoffs events beginning August 11th through the 14th next year. And it will be called the FedEx St. Jude Championship. So that will become the first leg of this playoffs. And this year, the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoff is right in our own backyard. And it's the Northern Trust at stunning Liberty National Golf Club in Jersey City, New Jersey. And in the second part of the show, we're going to talk about it with Northern Trust's executive director, Julie Tyson. And the format is pretty involved. You know, you have the top 125 players in the FedEx Cup standings. They're eligible to play in the playoffs. And then from there, the field goes down to 70 players for the BMW Championship. And then from there, the top 30 players advance to the Tour Championship. So we will talk about the format and the Northern Trust with Julie Tyson at about 7:40. But let's first talk about Nelly Korda's win at the Olympics. Annika's dominant performance last week. We got so much going on here. It's all very exciting. We'll visit with Beth Ann Nichols of Golf Week right after I tell you that Ivy Cool is a luxury athleisure wear for both men and women, offering the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. Ivy Cool, offering multifunctional, intelligent, the exclusive moisture sensor fabric featuring ice fill technology. It cools your body so you can stay comfortable and odor-free on hot and humid days. Ivy Cool apparel also features UPF 50+ sun protection. It's colorful, it's stylish, it's ultra-soft fabric with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. Learn more at ivycool.com. That's ibkul.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Join me this morning. Hope you're having a great morning so far. And my guest, Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer for Golf Week and new president of our Golf Writers Association of America organization. Good morning, Beth Ann. Welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so great to connect with you. And gosh, so much going on. Where shall we start? Let's start with the Olympics, all right? Because what a year for 23-year-old Nelly Korda. I mean, she wins her first major title in June, takes over the top spot in golf, right? And then she follows it up with an Olympic gold medal. And what, all this in a span of 2 months. Incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing what the entire Korda family has done all year. But Nelly Korda specifically has been a spectacular, and you know, it looked like for a while there that she might actually shoot 59 at the Olympics, which is just nuts. So you know, she just proved her mettle over and over again, I think, from what we saw, because there were some folks charging hard there at the end, especially Lydia Ko, which was fun to see, and Monet Nami, that, you know, trying to do it for Japan. So imagine if we actually had fans there, what it would have felt like, because it was pretty exhilarating without them even.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I mean, they went through a lot. It was so hot there from what I could tell. And then they had the, you know, the rain delay. And, you know, it's just these women are just so good. And you've been covering how many years now, Beth Ann, have you been covering the LPGA?
19 years.
Get out of here. And you're only 21. So how is that possible?
I know. It's incredible.
But what do you attribute Nelly Korda's success this season? And just in the last couple months, it just seems like it's all come together for her.
You know, it all seems, for the most part, to be upstairs, shall we say. You know,
sure.
I mean, there's been a ton of mental growth this year. I mean, I remember when she won at Lake Nona back in February, the comment the next week was, you know, gosh, it's just so exhausting winning. I don't know how people win 2 weeks in a row, you know. I mean, and she was just completely spent. And you thought, wow, this is a nice victory for her. But is she ready to be the best in the game? If, you know, if it seems so overwhelming to try to compete the next week after a victory.
Sure.
And so, you know, then what does she do? She wins the Meyer, and then the next week she comes out and she wins a major championship in dominant fashion. And so she learned a lot over the course of the year just in how to string events together and string momentum together and conserve her energy and, you know, all the things that you need to do to be a dominant player and sustain time at number one. And obviously she's just gotten to number one this summer, but you just still feel like you've just seen a lot of changes. And technically she's gone left hand low with her putter. She made that change after the missed cut at the Women's Open. And that was, you know, that was helpful for her. But, you know, I just think, you know, I think maybe we hit the panic button a little bit early with Nelly Korda because we saw so much incredible potential and we were like, gosh, why isn't she winning more? You know, and then you just a reminder that she just turned 23. It's just so easy to do that when you have so much success right out of high school. You know, it's easy to expect more, you know, right away.
Yeah, and it has to really help that her sister Jessica, who's 28, you know, they're together playing on the tour, and then at the Olympics, right? Even during that rain delay, Nelly, I was reading where Nelly was saying, "Yeah, I was hanging out with my sister, and she just kept me loose and kept my mind off all the pressure." That has to be such an advantage for these sisters to travel together and just to hang out together.
Oh, absolutely, and I think it's really important the way Jessica went about helping Nelly acclimate to the tour. Yes, they had practice rounds together and they hung out, but in the beginning, Jessica was really mindful about the fact that she wanted Nelly to have her own identity, her own set of friends, her own routines, that she just didn't come out and copy whatever was best for Jessica, or that Jessica wasn't, you know, kind of her world on tour. And so that was important in Nelly's growth as a young teenager on tour. And she did develop all those things on her own, and she is a very independent player out there. And yet, as she comes to this next stage in her career of, you know, becoming the face of the tour, she has her best friend right beside her and Jessica Korda, who is supportive in every way that she can be. So, you know, there were a lot of deliberate steps taken by the Korda family. Even early on in their careers, Peter, their father, was very careful that they took summers off in Prague, that they didn't play 24/7, you know, play in every event possible, you know, that they weren't overworked, overexposed, you know, that everything, you know, had its time. And I always felt that way from Peter, that, you know, that everything would come in its time. And you know, gosh, looking at the success that Sebastian has had, this meteoric rise in tennis all at the same time, you know, it's just really incredible the way both parents, Regina and Peter, have prepared their children for this time.
Yeah, the sister act in golf. It reminds me of, you know, Venus and Serena Williams and how their father, Richard, went about their careers. It might not have been, you know, the usual path, but, you know, they love each other so much, and just having each other on tour and traveling the world, that just was so helpful. You know, and continues to be for Serena and Venus Williams. And, you know, Peter comes from that tennis world, as does Regina, the mother. So I wonder if they took any cues from, you know, how Venus and Serena went about their tennis careers. It'd be interesting.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
out,
it's funny. They get Venus and Serena questions a lot. And of course, you know, the Korda's admire everything that they've done, but you still get the sense that, you know, everything's been done their own way, you know, and I do think that obviously with the incredible success that both Peter and Regina had, it was a sideline and an injury that ultimately sidelined Regina's career early, but she was, you know, a top 30 player in the world and an Olympian herself, you know, that they had their own ways of how they felt, you know, to go about this, you know, and golf is quite different than than tennis. But at the end of the day, you know, you're right. The bond that they share is very similar to the Williams sisters, and it's special, and it's no different to the Jutanagarn sisters in terms of closeness on tour and success on tour. You know, both winners. You know, you feel like Moria could win a major, you know, any second, and both of them could be major winners. You know, so it's really cool watching them essentially grow up in front of our eyes, basically.
It's so exciting. And these women are just such great players these days. And you wrote an article this week about what's more important to an American female golfer, a gold medal or a major title? And what actually gets an American female golfer more attention, a gold medal or a major title? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I do think it's different than the men in the sense that, you know, your average sports fan certainly knows when a men's major is going on. There's no question that this week is the Masters, you know? And but I would say by contrast, your average sports fan might not know that the KPMG Women's PGA is going on at Atlanta Athletic Club, you know, or that a young American star won it. And so I think, you know, when looking at, you know, how the Olympics impact men's and women's golf, I think there is a difference. And I think that, you know, Nelly Korda, or there could be, I mean, what we'll see, right? But I think, you know, Nelly Korda winning gold medal, I think your average sports fan will be aware of the fact that America won gold in golf, in women's golf this year. And even non-sports fans will know that. Just Americans who tune into the Olympics, and that's a much broader audience, and that's just domestic. We haven't even looked at it globally. So, you know, I do think that the potential of what a gold medal can do for an American female seems to be greater than winning even a major championship. But that has yet to be filled in the blank. We'll have to see now that we actually have an American winner. We can watch in real time how that translates for her and how that translates Nelly's career.
You pointed out, and you quoted a director from the Tucker Center for Research saying on girls and women in sport at the University of Minnesota, saying that around 5.5% of all sport media coverage goes to female athletes, which is actually down from an all-time high of around 10% in 1999. It's actually down, which is just incredible to hear. But she said in an Olympic year, that number rises to the range of 30 to 40% of sports coverage. So, you know, people know who Nelly Korda is right now, as you say. But, you know, did they know she won her first major title just a couple months ago? Probably not. So it'll be interesting to see how this, you know, what this gold medal will do for Nelly Korda and her career. And I just think it's, you know, it's exciting now. Xander Schauffele, when he finally wins his first major title, will that be more important to him than an Olympic gold? I mean, he had so much Olympic spirit, right? I love to see that spirit. Well, you know, while some of these guys were passing up the opportunity to, you know, to be on that team, you saw, you know, Schauffele go out there and it was heartwarming to see how much it meant to him to win, you know, for his father. And then even, you know, Patrick Reed, so patriotic. You love to see that. So it is still very different, you know, from a coverage standpoint, isn't it, Beth Ann, between men's golf and women's golf on a professional level, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And that's why these 2 weeks are so important, because you see, you know, female track stars celebrated and, you know, covered in the exact same way that male track stars, same down the line for every single sport. You know, from our views on the couch, it looks like they're being treated exactly the same in terms of exposure, you know, everything. And so I think that's why it's such a unique experience in sports, and that's why, you know, it seems to, you know, be an opportunity to elevate women's golf, you know, more than normal, more than any given week, more than even the most important weeks on tour. And you know, I think, yeah, that those numbers, the 5% is still even shocking now.
Shocking.
That's all that women, it's really quite pathetic. But But, you know, in talking to what it means to a player individually, too, you know, South Korea is a golf-crazed country, specifically for women's golf. And MV Park had won 7 major titles before she won the gold medal in Rio. And she will tell you that she went from, you know, a famous sports star in South Korea to just a mega star in general.
She's a rock
star.
Everyone
knew her. Yeah,
oh,
she
definitely.
Just went to a whole other level of stratosphere, and the number of people that tuned in to watch the Rio Olympics was off the charts. Was more than, you know, the number of people that tuned in to watch Tiger Woods win the Masters. You know, it's really incredible to see what it meant to Indy, and even to hear, you know, Julie Inkster. I asked her at the Senior Women's Open just a week and a half ago, I guess. I asked her what she thought about, you know, if she had had an opportunity to compete for the gold medal. And she said, you know, same thing, 7-time major winner. She said, you know, I think that it is different. A gold medal is something that you can pass down to your grandkids, and it's a completely different experience. And, you know, it's a lot of people win major championships. Very few people win gold medals. And so, it is very meaningful to a lot of players, and I think translates to fans differently as well, too.
You were at the U.S. Senior Women's Championship last week. Annika dominating with that win, 8-shot win. Unbelievable. Talk a little bit about that. Her family was there. She kind of picked up where she left off, right, 13 years ago. Unbelievable performance by Annika Sorenstam.
It was. I mean, it felt like we turned back the clock, you know, walking out to the, going on my way to the first tee, and there's Annika on the putting green by herself, you know, getting prepared for the last tee time. It was such a familiar scene. And yet so much of it was unfamiliar. It's Annika winning again with an incredible display of ball striking, so much consistency, you know, with her iron play. And then you see her stopping in the middle of the round to talk to her son, Will, you know,
and it's right.
Or on Friday, they're running to each other in the fairway when Will and Ava, you know, arrive on property for the first time, and Annika proceeds to birdie the next 3 holes after her kids get there. And it's like, wow, this is so different than it was when Annika was vintage Annika. And so it was beautiful. I mean, the scenes of them walking down the 18th fairway together, and the confetti and champagne popping on the green with the whole family there. It was just, you know, it was so heartwarming, and I think so inspirational for a lot of players that there is golf after family. There is golf after you leave the tour. You can win again. I mean, yes, this is Annika, you know, the greatest modern player of all time, but she's saying, you know, it was important to come back to this championship. And I think for the overall growth and longevity of the U.S. Senior Women's Open, this was a really important day.
Last question, Beth Ann. Hypothetical. So Annika, say in her prime, playing now, today, with these young women out there and how the game has even progressed in, what, the last 5-10 years, would she dominate? Or what are your thoughts about how she would do if she were in her prime playing now?
If she were, wow, that's a great question. You know, obviously Annika was one of the longer players on tour. She revolutionized how people went about their business in working out on the LPGA. So that's really the biggest difference now on Annika now is Annika Bold is just how much longer everyone is. But I would say that the tour is so global right now. It is so different that it is really hard to dominate no matter who you are and to sustain that for long periods of time. So it's a great question. I mean, the global depth of the tour at this moment in time is extraordinary. So I think that it would be more difficult, but still possible.
What a pleasure. Beth Ann Nichols, let's do it again. Senior writer for Golf Week. Thank you so much and continued success. Love to read your work.
Thank you. Have a great morning.
You too. My pleasure. All right. The Northern Trust at Liberty National Golf Club in Jersey City, New Jersey is quickly approaching. It starts a week from tomorrow. So we're going to talk to Julie Tyson in a few minutes, executive director of this PGA Tour stop, the first leg of the FedEx Express Cup, FedEx Cup. Julie will join me. We're talking about the Northern Trust. But first, let me tell you that as the brand ambassador for Ivy Cool, I can attest to the high-quality, performance-driven leisure apparel line that is perfect to wear on and off the course. Not only does the moisture sensor fabric keep me cool on the links, Ivy Cool garments also feature UPF 50-plus sun protection. All this, plus a wide variety of colorful and stylish silhouettes in tops, shorts, pants, skorts, and dresses. And men can choose from many styles as well. Look your best, protect your skin. Ivy Cool, that's IBKUL.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. How are we doing this morning? So glad you're up. So glad you're listening. And it is my pleasure to say good morning to Julie Tyson, the Executive Director of the Northern Trust, which takes place next week at stunning Liberty National. Welcome to Talking Golf. Julie, how are you?
Hi, Ann. Good morning. Great to be here.
Good morning. Wow, the Northern Trust is upon us, right? The first tournament of the PGA Tour season-ending FedEx Cup playoff, and it's very important for these top players to get off to a great start, right, in this first tournament of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's important on two fronts. One is we will cut after this tournament and go from 125 to only 70 players and then cut again getting into the Tour Championship to 30. So A, you've got to make the cut, and then B, you've got to help yourself get a high enough seed that you have a shot at winning the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup.
It is such an incredible golf course, just stunning views. I always enjoy playing Liberty National, and you know, you have the Statue of Liberty. You have, I mean, it's kind of distracting because you're playing. You just want to look at the scenery, right? And an interesting history about the course, Julie, with, you know, it was co-founded by Paul Fireman, who ran Reebok, owner, former chairman and CEO of Reebok, and the course was designed by Tom Kite and Bob Kopp. You just couldn't have a more dramatic golf course for this Northern Trust.
I think that's actually a wonderful way to put it, dramatic being right. During the practice rounds, you'll see the guys taking selfies of themselves or videos. It is literally one of the biggest stages in all of golf, not only because it's a playoff, but it's New York, and it's got the Statue of Liberty and the New York City skyline in the backdrop. So I think it adds a little bit of intensity.
And a shout out to executive chef Sean Christopher Lewis, who comes up with some incredible dishes over there, right? So they really have it all, you know, the food, the course, the scenery. And so fans, when they attend next week, what can they expect? What are some of the other experiences, Julie, that fans can enjoy?
Well, this is not the sexiest of all of the things that we'll talk about, but when you live in the area, you know traffic and convenience is important. So we've made it much easier to get to and through the golf course. So we've modified our parking much closer. The ferry, which is now free from New York, will take you from New York to the front steps of the clubhouse. So both, you know, infinitely more convenient. And then once on the golf course, we sort of, the two entrances that we have will take you right into 1 and 18. We've got a 12-foot-high sky bridge that will allow fans to now, for the first time ever, have an aerial view of the driving range and the practice putting so they can watch guys get ready. And then we've got, you know, great shopping, great food. We've got a DraftKings lounge or DraftKings house, which will allow gaming for the first time at our event. So there's just, I could go on for 20 more minutes, but there's a lot to do there beyond just watching golf.
That ferry ride is fun. You take it from Lower Manhattan. Where do you know? I'm trying to remember where you pick it up. It's where all the other
Brookfield
ferries
Place.
Are. Right.
So right at the base there.
And then you can park down in Lower Manhattan, and then otherwise, if you come in the New Jersey route, where do people park, Julie?
So parking is conveniently located. There's a map, and you can just drop the pin. If you go to thenortherntrust.com, you can drop the pin. There's three different locations right there, all in a row. And then the shuttle will take you to the golf course pretty quickly. We used to have people park at Newport Mall, and then they had to fight tunnel traffic and rush hour. We've eliminated all of that and worked with the city to make it far more convenient. So we're pretty excited about just getting you there easily and then getting you, you know, watching golf or enjoying the fun more quickly.
I know Rory, he committed recently, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas. Rory won it twice, the FedEx Cup, in 2016 and 2019. And JT, he just committed. So, you're going to have all the top players there, right?
Yeah, so this is exciting because of our rotation over history. You know, it's never one horse for one course, right? Like, it always kind of changes. And so we've had Bryson as a winner. Dustin won last year when we were in Boston. All the top players will be there. And the neat part about it is as you get into the playoffs, like with every other sport, everyone's trying to peak at this point to just run it out for the last 3 weeks. So we're going to get treated to some really incredible golf. And there's a lot on the line. There's money, there's, you know, placing seed. There's all kinds of stuff. This is the biggest platform with, you know, the most global, you know, visibility. So there's a lot to be considered here.
$15 million in the bonus.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Who doesn't want to vie for that opportunity? That's crazy money.
Yeah, it's we intended it to be a little jaw dropping. We wanted people to be a little nervous over their pots. And so the money being one motivator, and if that doesn't do it for you, you know, the broad distribution. So everyone's going to watch your every shot. And then there's pride too, where if you don't make the cut, you're watching the rest of your season from the couch. So, you know, there's a number of motivators. We're hoping that this is what, compels really incredible shot making.
So talk a little bit about your career, Julie. You were with the LPGA before you went to the PGA, right?
Yeah, I started in television and media sales and then migrated over and started to work for the LPGA when Ty Votaw was the commissioner, worked there for a number of years. Yeah, I did my own thing for a couple of years and realized that I like being part of a team. And so I went to work for the PGA Tour and have been here for 14 years.
And in your position, give us an idea of basically what you do. You kind of oversee everything about the tournament, right?
Yeah, it's a little different for me. Most of my background's in sales and marketing, so to oversee operations and logistics and communications and every aspect, it's like being CEO of a small business. And I've got a really wonderful team here in New York, and then I've got resources back in Ponte Vedra Beach because we're owned and operated. This is one of the few that's owned and operated by the PGA Tour, so I get the best of all worlds, and it's, you know, I like to run in the fastest heat, so to speak, and New York has got to be one of the most challenging places to operate any kind of sporting event just because of its size and the competition, but that's kind of what I like about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what are the challenges? I mean, you're competing against a lot of other sports in town, and, you know, it's summer, it's August. What have the challenges been?
Well, I think, you know, one is, it's not just you mentioned it, one is the competition, but we're competing with people like the Yankees and U.S. Open Tennis. These are iconic sports by them, or, you know, entities by themselves, but then to combine them with 11 other, you know, iconic teams and events, that's a big deal. Broadway, dining, there's a million options in New York, so there's some competition there, and then B, logistically, as I talked about, you know, getting to and through a place in New York is challenging. You know, you've got a lot to consider. And then the last part is, with all those things that are going on, you really have to be on the top of your game to coordinate with the city and the state. And, you know, COVID over the last year has added its logistical challenges where you've got to be really nimble. And I'm really proud of our team for doing just that.
Will there be any COVID-related changes at the tournament this year, or pretty much business as usual?
It's mostly business as usual. I think that, you know, New York and New Jersey were ahead of the game in terms of vaccination, so that's a good thing. But on top of that, you know, we have been living this in the PGA Tour. We've operated an event in 2020 with full COVID, you know, going. So we feel like we've had more of a running start. Our tournaments collaborate on best practices. So, you know, we'll have mask wearing inside enclosed environments. But as you know, golf is largely open air. That's the benefit of being able to play. And golf has seen this huge resurgence as a result. So, you know, I think people are pretty aware of the protocols in New York and New Jersey. And it's going to be mostly business as usual.
Yeah, it's great that the fans have been back. And, you know, if you just want to stroll and have incredible views of the skyline, I mean, if you love golf, and obviously the top players follow them on this challenging golf layout, but as far as just this dramatic scenery, I mean, that's worth the price of admission in itself, right? I
We joke
can't
around that we would love to live on site. If we could, you know, the real estate there when we build these structures would be a wonderful apartment to take over.
Now, did you play golf growing up, Julie?
You know, I started in my mid-20s, which is a bit of a regret of mine. I grew up on the southwest side of Chicago, and so it just wasn't a thing very much for me, the sports I grew up playing. But as I got older, it became a way for me to relate to my brothers and my dad, who are rabid golfers, and I've caught the bug. I like to play. I don't think that you and I have the same handicap, Anne, so I might need a lesson or two. I saw you out
Oh,
there
yeah.
hitting some shots.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, it's so funny. People in, you know, when you're in the golf business, people think you play all the time, right? And, you know, so I'm working all the time. I don't really play as much as people, I mean, I do. I don't want to say I don't play, but I don't play as much as people would probably assume I play because, you know, we're working, but it's all
Yeah,
good.
yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches when you go to work every day on a golf course like Liberty National. So while I don't get to swing the club, I get to be out there and be part of the environment, which is, you know, incredible.
Well, continued success. You are, how many women now really work, lead these PGA Tour events? In the, you're among what, a couple women doing this
Yeah,
on the
there's less
PGA
than
Tour?
five of us, and we all talk and collaborate. And you've been huge for all of us, and you know, giving us a bigger platform. So thank you for what you've done to help us. But there's only a few of us. I'd like to
Well,
see
it's,
more.
yeah, more, but, you know, it's the PGA Tour certainly. You would think because it's the men's tour that there wouldn't be a few women, but you know, it'd be nice if there were more women, but it's also great to have that opportunity, right, on the men's tour. As you say, the LPGA, you came from the LPGA tour, and it's good to see them at least giving some women the opportunity to lead at these PGA tour stops like you.
Yeah, you know, Jay Monahan, who's the commissioner of the PGA Tour, was my boss, was my direct boss for a number of years. And if you look at leadership under his kind of regime, you know, Alex Baldwin now runs the Korn Ferry Tour. Allison Fillmore and I running two of the three playoff events. So, you know, I feel like there's more of it coming, and he's a big proponent and supporter of all of us and women in leadership. So I think that a new day is dawning for all of us.
Well, I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning, Julie, and look forward to the Northern Trust next week at Liberty
And thanks
National.
for having me. Look forward to seeing you.
Thanks so much. All right. Well, hope you enjoyed the show, everyone. My thanks to Julie Tyson, Executive Director of the Northern Trust, to Beth Ann Nichols of Golf Week, and to Ed, our Zoomin in the studio. Yay, Ed. Talking Golf with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Ivy Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for women and men, performance driven, stylish, and ultra soft for all your on or off course activities. Stay tuned for Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge. Have an incredible day. Have fun on the links. And I will talk to you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Anne Liguori.